You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Something happening here.
Good
what
evening.
Ain't exactly clear.
Good evening, everybody.
There's a man with a gun over there.
It's 7:02 p.m. on the East Coast.
I got to beware.
The day is January 5th, 2017 of the Common Era. And broadcasting live from the docks of the old Parachute Factory. Over here in Westchester, New York, and syndicated around the globe via YouTube and Facebook and SoundCloud and Twitter and all of that good stuff. This is Quite Frankly. You're watching Quite Frankly. Chat room is already having a good time. Seeing everybody in there. What's going on, Murr? What's going on, Nikki? What's going on, Brian? Gadget Doc says Obama has already found a way to blame the police for what was done to the retarded teen on Facebook. We got Moonlit Matt with us. What's going on, man? What's going on, Stephanie? Stephanie Evil. What's going on, Marianne Hart? What's going on, YouTube? So it's going to be a good night. We've already got a bunch of people. Bunch of people hanging out. And here's let's just start with the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is the four demons from Chicago that abducted and subsequently tortured and tormented an autistic boy, 18-year-old kid, white kid. And they beat him, they hogtied him and gagged him, they pretty much scalped him, forced him to drink toilet water, and of course all while threatening him and saying fuck Trump, fuck white people, forcing him to say fuck Trump, forcing him to say things. And of course this happened over the course of about 24 to 48 hours. And what we're looking at here is a few things that came up for me here. Now there's only a few ways to interpret this. Okay, now the second way is the way that some of the apologists and the Black Lives Matter crowd are calling it a hoax. I knew it was a hoax from the beginning. I saw it as a hoax, as a hoax. I'm seeing it all over YouTube. Well, all the people who are trying to lay down alternate analysis on what's going on with this, okay? Alternate analysis. It's all the hoax. Well, we'll tackle what even suggesting that this is a hoax means. We'll tackle what that means soon. But the question I wanted to ask is society becoming more and more comfortable with actions and behavior like this? Is it becoming more and more normalized? And to the point where many people, and I confidently say many people, okay, it's not just hyperbole, I confidently say many people, because on social media, you are given a chance to observe many people at one time. Tens of thousands of people you can peruse through, especially since social media is predicated on how quickly you can get short, very, very basic thoughts on a subject out as quickly as you can. If you know how to use Twitter with any kind of ease, if you know how to use Facebook with any kind of ease, you know that the statuses and the tweets, they're very, very short, especially on a microblogging platform like Twitter. You only have 140 characters to say what you want about a certain subject. So you can just comb through thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, over the course of an hour, if you gave yourself the hour to really look and observe and acknowledge what's going on. So I say that, and we're at the point where I believe people, you see people in masses cheering it on or becoming apologists for this type of behavior, trying to explain it all away. Like this Simone Sanders. Listen to this on CNN last night. Hold on. Ready for this? Going to turn down the zombies just for a second. Don't want to waste a good song.
Here's last night. Four black teens under arrest in Chicago in connection with the beating of a white teen. The suspect shouting anti-Trump slurs as the attack was broadcast on Facebook Live. Let's discuss now CNN political commentators Peter Beinart, Alice Stewart, and Matt Lewis. Also Simone Sanders, a former press secretary for Bernie Sanders. Okay, so listen, there's certain things that I can't say that it's a hate crime because Chicago police won't say it.
That's number one. Now, Don Lemon, you know, the guy who's talking about how he wants a nipple ring and a boyfriend for New Year's Eve on live television. Don Lemon goes on and he goes on to say that he can't call it evil what happened. But this is how he starts off the whole segment. I can't call it a hate crime because the police that we don't trust haven't diagnosed the problem yet. The police haven't called it a hate crime yet. Even though we're talking about the most arbitrary of bullshit, anybody can diagnose anything in a hate crime, and it is being done, okay? On college campuses, if you have a differing opinion, it's being called hate crime. A differing opinion, okay? Nobody's throwing punches. Nobody's hog-tying individuals and cutting their hair off with knives or shredding their clothes and punching them and making them drink toilet water, okay? So hate crime in itself, go fuck yourself if you're one of the hate crime peddlers. I'm not going to call this a hate crime. Oh, shut the fuck up. Call whatever the hell you want. So, of course, they say, let's go to Simone because obviously she's the most qualified to start talking about hate crime because she's black, of course. She's black, so who better to be able to identify what is a hateful attack on a person when their physical person is in danger or their well-being or their life is threatened or anything like that. Tell me, Simone, we're going to start with you because you know the subject better than most people.
They're saying they're still investigating it. They're not done with their investigation. But when you look at this, Simone, they're saying F white people, F Trump. How can you say it's not a hate crime against a white person?
And now, we're talking about a fraction of a fraction of a second. We're going to go back so you can listen to that question. Fraction of a fraction of a second, and look at this woman. She comes out with, she knew exactly where she was going. She is an authority on the subject. Here is the situation. Now, this is everything you need to know. This is everything you need to know. Okay? Watch the robotic response, but with so much gusto. Watch the gusto on the response. Hold on. Let's get back just about a couple of seconds. It's pissing me off. I thought that we'd be able to start dealing with other stuff, but when shit like this pops up, we're forced. We're forced to talk about this.
F Trump. How can you say it's not a hate crime against a white person?
So first I want to say this is absolutely sick.
So first of all, everything's been prepared already because this is CNN. So they probably knew what the questions and the answers were already.
It's unfathomable that so much hate and anger can fill up a person where they go out and they think that this is okay. And then it was.
Did you get that, kids? Simone over here thinks it's unfathomable. She can't fathom how we can ever have gotten to this point where people would think it's okay to abduct someone, to threaten them, to beat them, and to make racial and political statements while they do it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine where this could have came from and how people could have learned this? She couldn't fathom it. But she did start off saying that this is despicable. This is terrible. Listen again.
Crime against a white person.
So first I want to say this is absolutely sickening.
Thank God. Oh, then she's a decent person. She's a decent person. Okay, everybody. Call off the dogs. She's not going to say something ridiculous. She's a decent person.
It's unfathomable that so much hate and anger can fill up a person where they go out and they think that this is okay. And
yeah, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now.
It was stupid to do it on Facebook Live, but that's a whole nother story.
It was stupid to do it on Facebook Live. This should have been a private event. Okay, this should have been a private event hosted in a basement somewhere where there was intimacy, where you can really get to know your victim.
So this is absolutely sickening, but I'm going to say something that's probably not very popular. We cannot callously go about classifying things as a hate crime.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, go on. Go on. Tell us again how we can't just callously call anything that upsets us a hate crime again. Go ahead there, Simone. Go ahead, Simone. Do it. I'm getting hard. I'm so excited. I'm going to say something that's a little bit unpopular. And then she... You can't just go callously calling anything you want a hate crime if you're white.
Motive here matters. So was this for hate of Donald Trump, the president-elect, because of things that he has said, or was this for pure hate of white people? That matters, because if we start going around and anytime someone says something or does something really egregious, really bad and sickening in this instance, in connection with the president-elect or Donald Trump or even President Obama for that matter, because of their political leanings, that is slippery territory. That is not a hate crime.
You're right. You're right, Simone. That's called terrorism. You're right. It's not a hate crime when you do something politically motivated. You commit an act of violence against somebody because of politics. That's an act of terrorism, Simone. So you're right. It's not a hate crime. Your stupid little token thing that you own. Hate crime. You're a hate crime. It's like a pile of Play-Doh that you play with. This is my hate crime mountain. This is my mountain of hate crime, and sometimes it's a hill, and sometimes it's a hate crime ball, and sometimes it's a pyramid, you fucking idiot.
Hate crimes are because of a person's racial ethnicity, their religion, their gender.
The racial ethnicity, everybody.
Disability. It is.
These are the pseudo-intellectuals that use redundant terms and phrases to keep prattling on about something in some, like I said, redundant ways. Racially, they need words to come out. They need adjectives to just spill out of their mouths to make them feel like they're making some kind of statement and that they're knowledgeable in some kind of complete pseudo-intellectuals. Complete pseudo-intellectuals.
Is your political leanings, because someone doesn't like your political leanings and they do something bad to you, that is not a hate crime.
But Alice, even hate crimes, aren't all hate crimes motivated by stupidity?
They're motivated by a lot of things. Stupidity, heartlessness, thoughtlessness, carelessness, so many things, but...
You mean a crime? You mean a crime, guys? When there's a theft or when there is some kind of infliction of pain or aggression, an act of aggression against somebody? A crime, you mean? Well, no. We're not talking about hate crime, okay? We're not talking about just crime. We're talking about hate crime, okay? Because with hate crime, you have the ethically racial. It could either be ethically racial, unfathomable, and if you have unfathomable ethically racial stuff going on, and if or it could be different, and they could be mad at President Obama or President Trump. That's not a hate crime. That's being mad at the president and being stupid. This is how these people talk. This is CNN for you.
Clearly,
You know, I don't even want to listen to this fucking bullshit anymore. Okay, so I started thinking to myself. I feel like I'm getting sick again. You know, they cheer it on like this, and they try to explain it away like that Simone chick, in some kind of dog whistle type of way to take the sting off of it. And it makes me think that if anything worse, and imagine what I'm about to say, because we are dealing with a kidnapping, torture, and torment while it's being broadcasted on social media, while you're, you know, of a disabled boy. For racial and political reasons. It wasn't one or the other. They said fuck white people and fuck Donald Trump. It's like they're trying to say, oh, this is apples and oranges. It could be apples and oranges. Motherfucker, this is apples and oranges, not apples or oranges. This is both of them in the same basket, okay? You went to the market and you bought both of them. You went to the racist, crazy market. And you bought both of them. You bought your political terrorism, and you got your racially ethnic hate crime concoction cocktail, and you threw it into the same bag. That's what happened here. It's like you have to be stupid to A, try to create these false equivalencies or the differential between the two, and you have to be even more stupid to sit back at home in your chair. Your plastic-covered chair at home at night, watching CNN, going, well, she has a point. And the victim was white, so it couldn't have been racially motivated. It couldn't be racism, because, like, you know, she's right. He's white. So it makes me think, if anything worse than kidnapping, torture of a disabled boy were to happen, let's say an assassination or something like that, who knows. I'm now thinking to myself, this will not be a wake-up call moment for people. I believe that we are so far out of reach from the unifying 9/11 effect that went through us by September 12, 2001, when the entire country banded together and they felt like one nation. Now, you can say that was brought on by some kind of false sense of patriotism because the entire event was orchestrated by George Bush. You can say whatever the hell you want, and there are some very, very oddball things that happened on 9/11, things that I still question and will always question because nobody's been able to answer it sufficiently to me. But on a social level, what did it do to us as people? It brought us together. Seeing something like this, an autistic boy hogtied by four demons that have a political and a racial agenda, that would have been the time when the adults in the room stood up and said, enough of this shit. But no, the kids learned this from the adults. And it's just this, whether you wanted to admit this or not to yourself, this is President Obama's most lasting legacy. Because once Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is ripped out by the roots, there is going to be no trace that the man ever existed, except for the visceral hatred and the divide that he has created in society by way of his Department of Justice and his social justice narratives and all of that stuff. And now think about this again. Think about this and keep this in mind always when we are trying to dissect what's happening before us right now. If you're 18 years old, 20 years old, and all you've known since you were 10 or 12 is Barack Obama as president, then this is the only reality you know. The problems that we have on the ground in America right now is the only reality you know. You know of nothing else. Of course, you see racism as the biggest driver of all things that happens in the United States. This is all you've been told, taught, and shown. This is what's been coming from your teachers, your television, and your president's party of sycophants for 8 years. So, of course, you're 18, 20, 22 years old, you think you're on top of the world, and you're armed with all of this fucking social justice nonsense that you were indoctrinated with. 8 years is all it takes. All it takes. Big difference of a 10-year-old and an 18-year-old. Big fucking difference. I coach 10-year-olds. 2 terms of a president, and they're capable of abduction. 2 terms. Within 2 terms, a 10-year-old is capable of abduction. So, you know, anyone who lived through the 90s, or the 80s, for that matter, has survived the and has survived the brainwashing of the last decade, would be able to tell you it wasn't this bad. It was never this bad. Okay? There are always going to be problem neighborhoods and problem cities. There's always going to be bullies and assholes and bigots in school that you'll have to avoid or fight through. But that is your individual journey. And we all have been on that individual journey. Some of us have it rougher than others, but you get strong or you die away. That's just what life is about. And you find yourself a good support system. You find yourself good friends. You find yourself a good town. You find yourself a good city. You find yourself something inspiring to dedicate your life to. But we've been ripped away. We've been ripped away from that perspective and taught to extrapolate all of the problems in your personal life to a collective demonization of a whole demographic of people. So, if you have a problem, if you had a problem with a white person or a black person, we're being taught constantly extrapolate and make that a part of the whole, a collective. It's not about the individual anymore. More and more, it's about collectivism on an economic level, on a social level, everything else. Individual is gone because someone, somewhere, even thousands of miles away, encountered a racist white guy or a racist black guy. And now that incident somewhere at some time seems to be a mandatory thing that it becomes everyone's fault and everyone's problem to solve, apparently. And it's not. It's that person's problem. It's that town's problem. It's that city's problem. Only now the media, we have media cover-ups and the cultural Marxism and the professional community agitators are in control. And the problem is white equals racism and black equals horseplay. And, well, you know, Donald Trump did bring this on. That's it. We've given one group of people has been anointed and bestowed ownership over what is racism. And the opposite crew has been bestowed the crown of racist, whether they know it or not. I mean, it's like original sin. You talk about religion. We always talk about how this leftist cultural Marxist movement that encircles everything. The third wave feminism, Black Lives Matter, Bernie Sanders and his gaggle of impotent little commies. All of these limp dick freaks that make up the beautiful kaleidoscope of diversity that is the left. All of these limp dick freaks. We talk about how that is, it's so religious. Even though they go and they fight against religion, except Islam. They fight against religion. They are staunch, they love being atheists and all this stuff, and they wear it on their sleeve, and because they have no God that they really care about, and they think religion is the root of all evil, they then commit themselves, and they lie, and they offer themselves up to the God and the altar of government. And if you think that this leftist mentality is not a religion, with the way that they peddle climate science and the way that they call people either a believer or a denier and the way they want to punish them and they want to... It's an inquisition. It's an inquisition. It's reverse McCarthyism. Absolutely. And it even comes down to this. If you are white, you are born with original sin. You must cleanse that away by being baptized by the commies on the left. Show us that you're a good ally. Get on your knees. Everything about these people is religious. Everything about them. This is not hyperbole. They are a religious cult. They are not going to stop. I'm telling you, there's no reckoning with these people. There's no reckoning with these people. Oh, God have mercy. Call in. We have some more things to talk about this, but you can call in. Now, the AP report, this is amazing. Associated Press. So, first of all, here's the Chicago superintendent. Here's the superintendent. Listen to this.
Not that I'm aware of it, as far as any additional incidents, but I think that, like the commander said, I think some of it is just stupidity. You know, people just ranting about something that they think might make a headline. I don't think that at this point we don't have anything concrete to really point us in that direction, but we'll keep investigating and we'll let the facts guide us on how this concludes.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine this? These are the authorities. These are the authority figures. This was live streamed on Facebook. They covered all the bases. They committed crimes. So many crimes. They should be gone. Every last one of the kids that did this should be gone for decades. Decades. It's where they belong, in a cage. They're animals. They belong in a cage. They're animals. Fuck white people, fuck Trump, no concrete evidence. That's what that means. And what is that? That is people saying, oh, listen, well, listen, they don't know any better. They don't, here comes the paternalistic racism again. Okay, now that was a black man, but here's the paternalistic racism. They don't know any better. They're just trying to make headlines. You know, come on. Tut 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 now. Come on, let's go easy on them. Let's go easy on them. And you go all over the media right now, and that's just what it is. Double standards. Authorities, they target white on black racism, and they ignore black on white racism. This is not a matter of saying one or the other doesn't exist. This is a matter of saying if everybody wants equality under the law, then we need law again. We need to have some kind of standard again. We don't have that. We have supremacy movements at work here. This is the work of supremacy movements. This is not an example or an attempt to diminish or deny that racism doesn't exist on both sides. It is alive and well, and more so in the last 10 years for reasons that we know. Oh, God. I'm done with that argument. You guys can call in at any time. Matt, what, did you see any of that stuff today, dude?
That video?
Yeah.
I saw it yesterday, and I went on the girl's Facebook thing, and a bunch of people commented on a bunch of her posts. Like, I guess she says she's married to someone, that dude's in prison. I guess one of her homies perished, so there's a rest in peace post, and I commented on that one. I said, hopefully soon your homies will be pouring out a little liquor for you. You know, shit like that. I was commenting on her post. They should be executed.
There was
the- fucking ask me. They'd be dead already. They'd be executed fucking yesterday.
Oh.
That's a form of cruel and unusual punishment, what they're doing to that poor kid.
It really is.
You know?
It really is. That's it really is. I do pray that there is some sort of sanity, and these kids get major time without parole.
Either way, I mean, even if they get no time, eventually they will get killed. I'll bet everything eventually.
Well,
all
don't
those
bet
four
things.
Kids will get killed in the streets.
Just well, don't bet things like that. Just let things be as they may. The best thing is that we got to be, we were able to see things like this, and there's no way to be able to spin this. Matt, Moonlit Matt from West Virginia, what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Fun little fact: that kid where he got dropped off was in. Dropped off in Schaumburg, Illinois. That's where I used to live.
Really?
Fun little tidbit. Yeah, dude, that's like 5 minutes from the house. Was where he got dropped off and was last seen until, you know, walking bloodied on the street in his shorts and all that. But what's on my mind is, I think you sort of said it a couple minutes ago, about maybe 5 minutes ago, is that basically these kids, or adults, I don't know why I'm calling them kids, because the media are telling me, these adults, I would not trust them in society anymore after doing something this horrendous. The fucking, like, this act they committed, they cannot be trusted anymore, in my opinion.
I completely, dude. Listen, I hate to put it this way, and you know Matt said it in so many words, but I'm not endorsing any kind of death penalty. I'm not endorsing anybody go after them. I think that the type of lives that they're already committed to living is going to get them killed at some point anyhow. I don't think that there's any rehabbing from this. It's very, very low chance they will. But what I will say is this. When you see this behavior, when you see this mindset out of any person, no matter their color, no matter where they are in the world, this is just a matter of the dog has rabies. There's no cure for rabies. Once the circuitry is fried, it is fried. There's no cure for what this is. So what do you do? So what do you do? I mean, do they live in incubation? Do they live in a jail cell? Do they roam free? Is this going to be the way that they live their lives? Is this going to be the way that they raise children? I mean, this is very, very concerning when you see this shit from anybody, from anybody.
Well, look, I saw some very interesting discourse on Tumblr about what should be done, and all, like, today I think Anarchy in Black was saying, like, I've agreed more with him about it, is that you can't, like, all of them had different little roles. Like, the one girl was just recording, how should she be punished in comparison to the kid that was actually being scalped? There's people like, torture them for 48 hours, all four of them. And it's like, the guy torturing only did it for like a couple hours. Like, so it's like very weird on what to do in this specific situation of what, like, everyone's role in this. Like, how do you punish them?
Hey, you're initially from Illinois. Do they have any good Samaritan laws out there in Illinois? Because for somebody to not only stop what's going on, but to videotape it, laugh, and stream it live on Facebook, I mean people have gone away for years because of Good Samaritan violations.
You know what? I don't know, but it being Illinois and it's Crook County anyway. Well, it's Cook County that it was in. What people call it Crook County because the taxes are so high and everything. They probably do have a Good Samaritan laws, but you can't. I don't know how they would apply that to like people on the internet who are seeing it, friends, like, because they might have tried to report it or something. And because I think actually that girl was laughing at people commenting on the actual feed when it was live, was saying like, "This is terrible." She was laughing like, "Oh yeah, terrible." Blah blah blah. Like, laugh about, oh, did you, I actually walked away for a couple minutes. I don't know if you mentioned it or not. They actually got charged with the hate crime.
Oh, they did?
They did. As of like 2:30 or 3 o'clock, all four of them charged with the hate crime.
Oh, good.
But charged with a hate crime because it was a it was a mentally disabled person.
It was against him. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it wasn't because he was white. No. If I read the only thing,
the only thing that they didn't call him was a retard. That's the only thing they didn't call him.
I didn't even watch the video. I couldn't. Yeah. I caught a couple pictures. I'm like, I'm gonna get sick.
This makes sense.
And I'm not like that's just the headline alone. The news article is all I needed to know about when it was first hit, and I was completely disgusted. I sort of wanted to throw up. And when they said Streamwood, I'm like, dude, that's the next town over. They're like, yeah, you got dropped off at McDonald's in Schaumburg, Illinois. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's 2 minutes from my brother's house too. But again, he was probably meeting up these kids, thought it was their friend, like thought they were all friends. To go drive, because depending on where you're going, Chicago with traffic from there is probably, it's at least 30 minutes to the city, to like the outskirts.
Yeah.
So I don't know where specifically, it could be an hour to downtown from there. But got in a stolen vehicle to drive 30 minutes, get tortured.
Joseph Patrick in the chat room just said, imagine the recourse had these kids tried to kidnap a white guy with a gun and someone was shot or killed. The streets would be on fire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not catching the chat. But yeah, no, if white guy was getting abducted by black people, they shot him. Well, they didn't need to die. He didn't need to shoot them.
Yeah, they were only torturing him.
It's like, yeah, it's like this weird justification. And then if it was the opposite, if it was like a couple white people trying to kidnap a black person, which granted, I hate doing these like, what if it was this situation? Well, let's do it anyway. It's sort of fun sometimes. If it was reversed and a black man had shot four white people trying to abduct them, and people were like, oh yeah, praise them and stuff, but in the reverse situation, it would be like, well, they didn't need to die. Like, really? Like, over like a mile, like a little kidnapping? You don't know what's going to happen after that.
Yeah.
Well, that's Illinois out there. All of them, like, you could, because they have concealed carry out there now, but if I remember correctly, is every place has a no, it doesn't stop me. It might not stop me. I'm not saying I may or not have carried into these locations when I was just there for Christmas. I don't want to incriminate myself. But they have the no gun signs, and they should be how Illinois is that by law, if you're caught in there, I think it's a felony.
Wow.
So it's like you can carry, but outside, like you can carry walking around outside if you get paid for your permit, which is like $300 and 16 hours of training with a license, like an officer. But it's only to walk. You could only walk around with it. You can't go anywhere legally because if you're in somewhere illegal, like with your pistol, it's illegal. And if shit hits the fan and you use your gun, yeah, you're in trouble now. And it could be possibly a felony, which is ridiculous to me.
Well,
absolutely ridiculous.
Matt, thank you so much for the call, my friend.
No problem, bro.
Good to hear from you again, and Happy New Year, dude.
Happy New Year.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. I swear to God, I think I'm getting sick again. I swear to God, I think I'm getting sick again, which is horrifying because tomorrow we have the show. Got to play the show. Last thing I want
tonight, bro. Go home, crank the heat up, put some Vicks on your fucking nose.
I'm going to have to do a few
your
things.
Your throat, your chest, your back, your lower back, bro. Sweat it out. Dude, you'll be fine tomorrow afternoon.
See, this type of show really, really, really upsets me. I don't want to be this angry. I don't want to see this stuff. I don't want to talk about this stuff. It's never about... And of course, we're talking about individuals. But look at who is really in charge. We call them the dinosaur media, the mainstream media that everybody has completely shunned. But they still have a lot of power. They have a lot of power. When you're talking about 30 million people a night that tune into these networks and stuff like that, this is unbelievable. This is where it all comes from, and the president is. Oh, my God, I can't wait until he's gone. But he's never going to be gone. The president is going to start tweeting. You want to talk about tweets? The president will start tweeting. Barack Obama is not going to be going away. That guy is a shit stain on the underwear of this country's history. One of the biggest shit stains there is. Oh, God of mercy. all I want to do is just all I want is for people to be free from this nonsense. To be free from this nonsense, to start thinking clearly again. But we're forced to talk about this stuff as it gets worse. And what happens? What happens? I mean, anybody who listens to this show and hasn't been listening for long enough to know who we are as people and where we come from as far as our stances on, you know, liberty and people's happiness and how people should be able to live their lives and who shouldn't be able to tell them how to live their lives, you would think that we're just angry, racist white people. I know that could be the perception. Depending on how you're looking at anything, that's depending on what lenses you're looking at the world through, that's it. And I hate putting ourselves in this position. I'd love to talk about something else. But if we don't do it, then, you know, it's good that we're a part of this front. Because the podcast world, the internet streaming world, the blogging world, that is the world, as we said before, has emerged from the darkness. It is very relevant. It has made this election what it was. It overthrew and threw back the mainstream media. We put together all of the things that didn't seem right. We put all of the polls in frame. We knew that something wasn't right, and we started talking about the real things. We took the leaks, and we had examined them, and we were scratching and clawing for truth, and we found it, and here we are. And we're still trying to beat back this bullshit. But this is what we're going to have to do now. This is our lot. Okay, so we're going to try to find some ways, and that's why if you support the show, continue supporting the show. You know, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/ quite frankly, and find a way, help us get to these goals where we can add on more time to these broadcasts, where we can add special broadcasts to every month's broadcast schedule. Maybe those broadcasts will be completely apolitical. But the way that we can expand this show is by just keep fighting, because this is just going to be our job now. This is going to be our job now. I know there are great people out there who have much bigger followings than we do. We're not even at 300 subscribers on YouTube, for Christ's sakes. And but we're part of the mix. Our voices are in the mix. And we just got to keep it up. Because to rely on some of the big people out there, including some of the bigger YouTubers that have listen, you look at Young Turks. It's not like the blogging and the YouTube and the internet world is not devoid of these insane, insane elements of society. They're very, very entrenched in that, too. All of their movements. Black Lives Matter is an internet movement. That's where it gains steam. So we were right there in the thick of it. Okay, this is just another theater of the war. Just like in World War II, you had the Pacific Theater, you had the European Theater, you had all this. That's it. This is just another theater of the war. All right. I don't know. And you know what? The second thing I had to bring up about that is the hoax. I didn't bring that up. Okay? For people to say that this was a hoax, I want you to just for a second ask yourself this. And I went off. And I went off on YouTube to see where, you know, what the opposition was talking about, what people who were explaining this away and laughing it off as something that it wasn't were saying. And I put the question into a couple of video comment sections. I just, please, tell me, what is the purpose of a hoax like this? You have Josh Earnest come out and say it's too early to tell. Too early to tell if this is a hate crime or not. We don't want to predict where the local investigations will go. And when I heard Josh Earnest say this, and I can't wait to be rid of that hack as well, even though he'll get a job at one of the networks. So the White House press secretary says they don't want to predict where the investigations are going to go on this. as if they never urged the country to predict what happened before evidence was collected and facts uncovered before. You know, forget about the five investigations that confirmed that hands up, don't shoot was a filthy, seething lie in Ferguson, Missouri. Local, state, federal, independent, and military investigations, forensic investigations proved Mike Brown got what was coming to him after a day of robbing stores and bullying shop owners and attacking cops. And yet, that's where Hands Up, Don't Shoot and Black Lives Matter got its start. And all that was from the beginning, starting with Trayvon Martin and the "he could have been my son" comment with the president. This is all from the beginning in the face of these investigations. It has all been urging from the top down, from the media on, urging people to make predictions. Urging people to make predictions and say what they think it was before they even had the facts. Five investigations proved all of the narratives of Ferguson, Missouri false. And still, Darren Wilson was public enemy number one from the get-go and never stopped. And when there was a no bill given from put forward from the grand jury, there was riots again because they didn't get the result they wanted in spite of the fact that they were shown or that they were told and shown all the evidence in great detail why they were wrong, but they didn't want to know at that point because they had already been told what the situation was. They had already been told. The dog whistles had already been blown. And Josh Earnest has the balls, if he has balls at all, that whiny little weasel. Too early to tell. We don't want to predict where the investigations are going to go. You are in the business over the last 8 years of predicting where the investigations go. And because we were urged, oh my God. So there you go. So Black Lives Matter got its mantra, and its members were given its bloodlust. And that's what came out of Ferguson. And that's what came out of the prediction process that were put forth. And then, of course, after that, the rank-and-file Democrats got their marching orders as well. And where do they march toward? They marched toward a direction that lost them every major election, every major election. Oh, well over 1,000 seats across the country. So they got their marching orders. They were bad ones. And now they're paying the price. And it's not going to go away. So for everybody else out there who has actually listened to the first 48 minutes of this broadcast, and we didn't talk about anything but the time just went flying by, and I'm sorry, but after tonight, I think I've got it all out of my system. I think I got it all out of my system, unless something else stupid is said. But even then, it would just be a follow-up, an addendum. It'll only be 5 or 10 minutes here and there. This is the show, I guess, tonight. But what I would say for anybody who's actually lasted this long, and especially if you are a person of color or, you know, black, whatever the hell it is, and you're watching or listening right now. This is the problem with looping individuals into a collective. If you're black, you need to understand, just like I understand, when this is the opposite thing, when Dylann Roof goes and shoots people because they want to start a race war. If you're black, you have no responsibility in this act. You aren't a part of it because of your skin, because your skin color is similar to that of four demons in the torture video. You didn't do it, and you don't have to explain it or defend it either. It's reprehensible. You are a member of the human race. The human race. Think as an individual again. This is the danger of the collective. This is it. But just consider what the bitter end result of living in a society. Consider that. This is the bitter end. This is the bitter end result of living in a society where the political elite and their media surrogates and their foot soldiers on the ground are comfortable with taking people like Dylann Roof and extrapolating him onto white people as a whole. Well, I am not going to extrapolate the four demons onto black people. I know and love too many of them, from my stepfather out outward. Everybody in my life. Okay? And we all have to do the same. Remember that. We have to remember that and pass that along. Be the individual. Is that is this in hindsight one of the... Are these acts terrible? No matter who commits them. Yes. That's all you need to know. Reject these fucking pussy-footing, eggshell-stepping motherfuckers on the TV who are professional fence-sitters who are there to protect political narratives. Reject them. Cast them off into the abyss. That's where they belong. That's where they have been resoundingly sent over the last couple of years. And go fuck themselves. That's all it is. What's going on, Mr. Destiny? First time I've seen Mr. Destiny in the chat room. Welcome to the show. For everybody that's watching for the first time, welcome. We are live every night of the week right here on the YouTube and soon to be YouTube and Facebook. The video card just came in. This thing looks like a goddamn drone. It's amazing. It's got four fans on it and everything. This thing is a monster. We're going to be able to do so much stuff over here. So... with that being said, let me thank everybody because I got to get off. We have an 8 o'clock show coming in here, and I have to do one more tune-up with the band before tomorrow night's show. So patreon.com/ quite frankly, please go check out all the perks that I put up there of being a financial supporter of the show. I have had so much fun growing this and getting to know you guys and getting really into these conversations. I have learned a lot. I have learned a lot from you. I hope that these conversations amongst ourselves has allowed other people to learn some. I have learned so much from our guests. And just because we have a forum here where I'm allowed to think out loud, I'm able to chase thoughts that I'm chasing for the first time. I have revelations every night as I'm talking to you guys. And that opportunity is precious to me. And I'm so happy that you guys are in the back seat and in the passenger seat while we are driving this fast car right into the mouth of hell. So for those of you who don't have money or don't have funds to support the show in that way, please like us on Facebook. Like us on iTunes. Get on iTunes and subscribe. Give it some stars. Write a review. Share it with a friend, family, foes, all that stuff. Get it on out there. Subscribe to the YouTube and just tell people about it. That's all I can ask for. And now to thank my bosses, all the people, all my Patreon patriots, starting with Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Great Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mike May, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppers. I put peppers on my eggs. Max Ancaparato from Colorado and Rob Corrado from Colorado. LS Dan Spratlin in the chat room. What's going on, man? And thanks a lot, Mr. Destiny. Louderworth Crowder brought you here? Well, wow. How the hell that happened? Hey, Mr. Destiny, I love Steven Crowder. How did you find us? Were we in a suggested video on the side, or what happened? I'd love to know about that. Stacy says, life in the fast lane. Absolutely, my friends. I'll tell you, 300 subscribers, and I will do a pantless show. Although you won't. You know. I don't know. Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, my friends. Whitney. Pierre from Normandy, Bren Antilles, Rogue Squadron from the UK, Stephanie Evil from Gaslight.tv. Everybody get to Gaslight.tv. If you want to become a contributor to the blog, please subscribe and submit some writing samples over there on Gaslight.tv. Tony Federici, Ryan V. What did we say Ryan V was going? Valorum. Chancellor Ryan Valorum. Koss. Thank you, my friend. Koss got married. Well, he's going to get married. Gadgetdoc, Marianne Hart saving the cheetahs. Kate McCallum, Jenny Lee, she's been in a chat room getting everybody hot and bothered the whole fucking time. It's amazing. Brad Meyer and Matt DeFabio. Matt DeFabio from the 1984 Club, there he is, who went... There he goes. Yes. And Stephanie K from StephanieKBeauty.com. Guys, check out StephanieKBeauty.com. She turns your face into a demon. She'll turn your face into an angel. She's amazing. I mean, what do you want? What do you want from her? Ask her. What can you give me? Who'd I leave out? Nobody. Nobody. Oh, that's right. Tonight is the last show of the week. Like I said, we're going to be going live. If you follow me on Twitter, I'll be going live. Maybe I'll go live from Instagram tomorrow night. If I got, I will have Wi-Fi, and I will go live from my Instagram, which is quite frankly show. And I'll go live from behind the drum set, so you won't be able to hear much other than the drums. But Anthony should start a stream, and I'll turn around and I'll talk to you guys in between songs. Also, we won't be live tomorrow night on this show. And there was one other thing I wanted to say. Let me see. Brian O'Connor says Matt is the devil on Frank's shoulder. Ann Caparato said Matt is
Thank
like
you.
Ann Caparato says Matt is like the hooded version of Kermit. Yeah,
thank you.
It's true.
It is.
It's true.
I'm a nice guy, you know. But
he's a nice guy, but he has a very short fuse, and I'm always nervous when he opens his mouth on the show. I have to be honest. I always think something.
So am I.
Yeah. Well, just remember. Just remember, my reputation's on the line too, Matt.
I know. I've stopped myself a few times.
Okay. All right. So then there you go. 7:58. I did my announcements. Thank you guys so much for the support. That's right. Because of the craziness of the week and preparing for the show tomorrow night, the performance tomorrow night, I haven't been able to write any of the letters for January yet. So if you wanted to be a contributor to Patreon, the 1776 Club and the 1984 Club, those get you handwritten letters from me so we can be like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, okay? So I'm going to start writing those letters next week. So you still have a chance of getting in on it. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Be well. I will see you guys all throughout. And Hoss, Tony, tomorrow we dance. Indeed, my friend.
Hoss Perot.
Hoss Perot is in the chat room.
Hoss Hogan.
Hoss Hogan. You heard that Ric Flair was squatting 400 pounds or something like that?
Right. I thought you were about to say he perished.
No, 60, and he deadlifted like 285 pounds.
Oh, dude, he used to be...
Yeah, Diesel 60s, 70s. He's still pretty
His daughter,
Diesel.
I guess, wrestles Mike Mesa.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I will see you on Tumblr. Find me, Quite Frankly TV on Tumblr. Or you can just go to, Quite Frankly TV. That's it. And Twitter, Political Orgy, at Political Orgy. Yes, thank you so much, Nikki. I will go off. I will go off into the great beyond, and I will kill it for you guys on stage. Good night, good night, good night. I leave you with the beautiful voice of Jerry Vale.